Hello, America. Kate Delaney with ATN. Wall to wall and everywhere in between. Or as we affectionately say, the nooks and crannies. Boy, what an hour we have for you. We're going to check your mail because you overflow the mailbox even on the weekend. Plus, we've got sports shorts for you. A lot of sports things happened over the weekend. Some of them were kind of interesting. If you happen to be a tennis fan, perhaps you watched two of the greatest tennis players in the world. Did you invest 4 or 5 hours watching that NBC program? I don't know. But we're going to tell you, if you didn't, who won and who lost. No Americans, by the way, were involved. Because Americans in tennis, when it comes to the finals, it's been very, very bleak. It's like a drought. Andy Roddick was the great hope, and James Blake, one of them, certainly, too. But they haven't come through in the end. So we got sports shorts at the very tail end of the hour. But before that, we're going to mix in all kinds of things, including your favorite, the politics that makes Sunday churn and burn. You know, I call it the Sunday swirl. Everybody has an opinion, or so it seems anyway. So Sarah Palin defends her Paul Revere history, while the Obama Fed pick decided, you know what, I'm out of this. I'm tired of partisan politics. This isn't going to work for me. And boom, he's done. I'll explain that story, too, as well. Plus a crazy story in between, part of Odds and Ends. A woman on the West Coast suddenly develops a foreign accent after she had surgery. How does that happen? I don't know. So we'll dive into that. Plus, going to the Middle East and what's the latest in Yemen. Boy, there's some things certainly happening there. Plus, in Libya as well. Why do you care? Because you care about our troops and where they ultimately could end up. We keep hearing no boots on the ground in Libya. But do you really believe that as this keeps rolling on and on? And Muammar Gaddafi certainly seems to have the upper hand, in a sense. The true stalemate has happened there. And every other day, the story flips and flops in a different direction. But I think he's dug in, and don't look for him anytime soon to dip away. You want some good news right off the top? Here's the best news. If you were cruising around this weekend with the kids, with your significant other, with the dog, you know, you roll down the windows, the dog's ears are blowing back. You might have actually taken a longer drive than you have been taking. And why is that? Because the price of gasoline has gone down. The average across the U.S. is $3.78 for a gallon of regular. I am happy to say that in my neck of the woods, $3.58. Whew. $3.58. And I didn't even ask for a balloon animal. I was so excited that it was $3.58. And then I think back to a year ago, and gas was $1.68, $1.75. Oh, isn't that depressing? Sarah Palin's not worried about money to gas up her bus as she cruises around the U.S. She's drawing huge crowds. There is no doubt Bob Nee, who we've had on the show many times from Talk Radio News, says she is the kingmaker for the Tea Party. She's wielding that power, certainly. And Sarah Palin decided she was going to defend herself after being slammed on a comment she made about Paul Revere. What she said was, and here's what she's saying, on Sunday, she was part of the swirl in a conversation with Chris Wallace. He asked Sarah Palin this, saying, you know, you realize you messed up about Paul Revere, don't you? And she said, I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. And this was the quote. She said, part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there that, hey, you're not going to succeed. You're going to take American arms. You're not going to take American arms. You're not going to beat our well-armed persons, individual private militia that we have. He did warn the British. And Palin said once again when she was pressed by Wallace, because the big question of the hour always is, are you going to run for president? And she hasn't decided is what she said. She said she has not decided as to what she'll do, whether she's going to run or whether she's just going to be somebody who converses about the people who are running. She was also asked about Paul Revere during a stop Thursday in Boston on her East Coast bus tour. And that's what started part of the, you know, part of the buzz. Palin's brush with history came toward the end of her One Nation bus tour that has really intensified interest as she's gone along mile to mile. I mean, she traveled from Washington to New England. And along the way, she said, as she said to Chris Wallace on Sunday a million times, I have not decided, that she's somewhere in the middle. And she was also asked whether she could envision supporting, you know, she was asked Sunday a bunch of questions about envisioning herself as president and all that sort of stuff. And while she was doing her Sunday thing, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who is squarely in the middle of this GOP run for president in 2012, just entering the race, heading into the weekend, he was asked whether he could see Palin running for president. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour also talking about that. He was asked on Face the Nation about the same thing and basically said if Barack Obama was the head of the other ticket, I could see Sarah Palin in the race. Interesting. I still really honestly believe that she's not going to do that. I think ultimately it'll be about commentary. It'll be about talking about the race and doing other things, maybe in the Republican Party, but I don't think she's going to run for president. So the question becomes still the same question. If she were to just say, screw it, and pardon my French, and just throw all in, she's, you know, sick of the questions. That's no more ambiguity. I've been talked into it. I like the idea. I want to run. I'm going to run as the everyday person. Yeah, sure, I was governor of Alaska for a teeny bit of time. I was the mayor of Wasilla. But I'm throwing all in. I'm going for it. I'll push the other stuff aside just to see what happens. How much of a chance do you give Sarah Palin, and who would be on that ticket? You know, that's the other part of the question that nobody ever talks about. If she were to run, who makes a strong running mate for the reverse, for her being president, and who's on the flip side of that? I guarantee, I really believe this, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, those guys, I don't see them doing that. They want to be president so badly. I can't see them, even if she were to throw in and to get somehow the nomination, I don't see them being the vice president on the other end of that ticket. So who would be on the other end of it? I mean, that's the question, right? Because there's no doubt, since she jumped into politics in 2008, she has gotten a ton of emails, maybe some attacking her, but plenty of them supporting her. You know, her elected experience, as I mentioned, the short time as governor, but remember, she was also the two-time mayor of Wasilla, Alaska, but the population there, 7,000. That's curious. Curious question. A ton of my emails were about Sarah Palin and what I thought and what I thought of her bus tour and what I thought of the Paul Revere comments and all that. So we'll certainly continue to comment on that. You can throw in to 800-259-5791. But next, odds and ends.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Coming up on the weekly rewind, in our next segment, the best interview, I think, of the week. We're picking them out. And this had to do with Israel. Scatter shooting with somebody who was part of the Israeli defense team for a very long time. Lives in Israel and gives us the skinny on what happened with the president and the 67 borders. And ultimately, what's the solution and what the reaction has been on the ground in Israel. So we're going to take you to Israel for our weekly rewind. And that, like I said, that's coming up in our next segment. But now with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight, Odds and Ends. It's my favorite thing because Odds and Ends is kind of the leftovers. And one of the leftovers certainly is John Edwards. And what happened with John Edwards heading into the weekend, not a surprise whatsoever. We talked about it, that he was going to probably either enter a plea, but I didn't think he would. And, you know, ultimately, he was going to say that he was innocent and everything else. So I forget where I was on Friday, but out somewhere, and I made somebody jack up a TV because I saw a story about John Edwards, and I saw that he was walking toward the microphones. And he is insistent that he did not break any campaign finance laws. But, you know, he's going to do some jail time. He's going to do that. But the push for him to serve some time over breaking campaign finance laws is what made the plea negotiations completely blow up, apparently. And that was between the lawyers and for John Edwards and the Justice Department last week. So he trotted out in front of the mic, and he had that, you know, that schoolboy look in his eyes. His daughter was trailing somewhere behind him, and I just felt so badly for her. And he just said, you know, I did not break the law. This is a former lawyer who was known for his craftiness in the sport of law and won some bitterly contested cases, which made him famous and made him rich. He said, I did not break the law. I never thought I was breaking the law. You have to be kidding me. So after initially it looked like he was going to agree to this plea guilty to the felony, now instead he's not going to do that. The grand jury indicted him on 6 felony counts. And he says he regrets the pain and the harm that he caused, but he didn't break the law. He never thought he was breaking the law. So once again, he's digging in, even though they have him. I mean, what a ridiculous hornet's nest. What a mess this is. I mean, truly, do you feel any sort of remorse for John Edwards? And the answer is no. After what he did, are you kidding? He cheated on his spouse who was dying, which was makes him a low-life dirty dog for that, let's face it. And he made a child with another woman who was supposedly filming him. I mean, come on. And I think of the people who really believed in John Edwards. I know a lot of people that like John Edwards. So they were giving money to his campaign so that he could give this woman almost $1 million? I'm sorry, he knows how the PAC system works. Because he's been in politics too long to claim that he didn't know. You know, you could look at this another way. And I got an email from somebody who heard me talk about Edwards and said, look, who cares? His political career is over. He's not doing any harm to anyone else. I mean, why should we even pay to have him sit in a jail cell and pay for his food? It makes no sense. Why are we even going down this road? And the reason is, it's not even about the cheating, the thing. It's about the lying to people who are donating campaign money. That's the problem. What about all those people who ponied up some cash because they believed in this guy? The guy who was lying through his teeth while he was running for president and wanted his aide to say that he was fooling around with Ryle Hunter and it was his baby. In fact, he was saying that. This is ridiculous. But forget the kid thing, forget the cheating thing, all of that. It's just quite simply, I mean, this is a guy who knows the law, was part of the legal profession, and he can't claim that he didn't know how the political system worked, that he's a victim because he didn't think he was breaking the law. I mean, come on. Come on. So the end there is John Edwards should do jail time. And trust me, we've paid for worse. If we have to pay for it, we're already paying for it. And all the hours the Justice Department used to do this and the grand jury. So it's already being paid for anyway. Let him sit in a jail cell for 6 months. All right, here's somebody who could sit in a jail cell. And he is also somebody who's very powerful and never thought he would be in this position. I'm certain of it. The defense attorneys for Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who is the former chief of the International Monetary Fund, are going to request what they call discovery materials from the prosecutors. They want to know what they got. They want to know what's going on Monday. Now, DSK at one time was going to be maybe the next French president, but now he's facing 7 charges, including criminal sexual acts and sexual abuse, after going after a maid. What was he thinking? He's at this posh hotel and he's going after a maid. Please. So they've got certain evidence that I guess that they're going to pore over and try to figure out where the holes in the evidence are. That's what they should do. They're a highly paid defense team. And they're requesting specifically copies of what they're calling scientific reports and police reports and formal statements made by hotel employees complaining that some of the information was, you know, leaked to the media. Oh, well. The amazing thing about this is he was released from jail on bond. He's under house arrest. Can you imagine house arrest in a luxury townhouse in Tribeca? That's where he is. And he's under court-ordered watch because, of course, this guy has tons of friends and he could flip out in a second, right? He could get out of town in a second, even with some stupid bracelet on. So he's under court-ordered watch, that's part of the terms, of a $6 million bail agreement. $6 million. If somebody had to bail you out, what do you think the, I was thinking about this the other day, what do you think the amount, the highest amount is that they could go for you? Matt, if you were in jail, which, of course, you're such an upstanding citizen, and you had to call all your buddies and your family and had to scramble, how much money do you think they could raise for you in a short amount of time to pony up your bail?
I could get a decent amount, I think.
Really? I mean, like, you know, $150,000?
Possibly. I mean, I'd have to be in a pretty big bind and for, you know, a reason that wasn't a fault of mine, you know?
If,
you know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to get your friends to hand over 50 grand for, you know, if you did something, you know, you're like, I don't even know, like, what the situation would be where it would actually work out in your favor. Because if you have some kind of, like, murder charge or, I don't even know, you know, sexual assault.
Well, murder
thing.
Charge, yeah, but you didn't do it. Let's say you're totally innocent, but you are, boom, you're in the soup, though. So you need help.
It would
you
have to
friends.
Be, I think that it has to be a situation where my friends are like, yeah, there's no way he did that. And then I could get some money that way. Yeah, it's a sticky situation, though.
All right, so you think you can get a $250,000?
I don't know about that.
All right, somewhere in the ballpark of at least six figures, 150,
whatever.
I could
get close to six figures, yeah.
Wow, close to six figures. You know, I was thinking about this, and I'm not so sure. Who do I go to? My couple's friends? I have these friends, the Lattimores. I can't imagine. I think she would help me. I think he'd be saying, are you kidding? We don't have the money. So I don't know. I don't know. She would believe that I was innocent, whatever the charge was. Then I have another friend who sometimes has come on the air with us because she runs Fox Sports Radio Network, Annie Z, her name is. And I think she would go to the wall for me, but I don't know how much coin she would pony up. So I started to think about this. Maybe I go to Matt's friends. He may have better friends than me because he can get at least six figures.
I got some single guy friends with money to spend.
I'd have to go to Matt and beg him to go to his friends because I don't think my friends would pony up. I'm just saying, I was thinking about it. But DSK, boy, he's got them for sure. All right, coming up, we're taking you to Israel. This is part of our re-rack, our best interview of the past week, so stay with us.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
How would you like to rev up your metabolism and energy while lifting your spirits? Now a new healthy tea is available that will do just that, and it's called Zoom Tea. Zoom Tea was developed for a former welterweight boxing champion to increase his energy and focus in the ring. Zoom Tea is an alternative healthy pick-me-up that can replace coffee, common tea, or soda. Zoom Tea also helps remove radiation from the body, promotes weight loss, and is high in antioxidants. For a limited time, get our introductory price for a one-month supply of this amazing tea for just $20, or a two-month supply for only $35, and we'll pay the shipping and handling. Go to our website now and start feeling the healthy and energizing benefits from drinking Zoom Tea. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com. Or call toll-free 877-341-4769. 877-341-4769 today.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
You can bet the eyes of the world will be on Hosni Mubarak's trial and his son's on August 3rd. Remember, after holding on to power for about, 30 years, finally he goes to trial. We know this by now, charged with corruption, intentionally killing protesters. And where does this all fall? Where does this fall? Remember, the former president ultimately was forced to do this, transferred power to a military council on February 11th. My question is, and what's so scary to me, now what happens in Egypt following that revolt, Mubarak giving over the reins, who's stepping in? We've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood. What ultimately is that group comprised of? We head to Israel now. Pleasure to welcome to America Tonight, Avi Lipkin. Avi is somebody who knows his politics in the Middle East very well. He's an Israeli citizen, a former member of the Israeli Defense Forces, and a very, very, very well-informed U.S.-Israel policy, Israeli policy expert. And he's watching, like we are, on Egypt, on what's happening. He's watching very closely, I'm sure. Avi, thanks so much for popping on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me first time.
So tell me about what ultimately, first the trial before we get to what happens next, your thoughts on Mubarak and what's going to happen to he and his sons when it's all said and done.
Well, you know, in Egyptian politics, we go back 4,000 years to the time of Joseph. He saved Egypt from starvation. And then within a very, very short time, everybody forgot who Joseph was, and the children of Israel were put into slavery. And so, you know, Egypt is a very ungrateful country. Mubarak is a man who protected Egypt and brought foreign investments from all over the world. He maintained a peace agreement with Israel, even though Mubarak himself was really not a good friend of Israel. But he, because of the peace treaty with Israel, many, many international corporations moved to Egypt. Israel, by the way, shut down factories in Israel and moved the factories to Egypt all through the peace process. Israel was buying gas and oil from Egypt. It was a very, very good situation, really, for Egypt. And after 30 years, he was overthrown for a number of reasons. But the bottom line is the following. The Muslim Brotherhood has been in existence since 1929. In the 1930s, it was a pro-Nazi movement, and it was banned by the King of Egypt, of course, under the British colonial rule. And even Anwar Sadat was a Nazi. And so the Nazism was a very, very popular ideology under the Muslim Brotherhood, and it is today also. In the from 1952 until 1970, until the death of Abdel Nasser, Nasser banned it. Then later, when Sadat came to power and he made peace with Israel, he also tried to patch up with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they killed him. Then came Mubarak, and Mubarak maintained the peace process, but he was very tough on the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood today can control anywhere between 30 and 50% of the vote in the upcoming elections in September. And the bottom line of the Muslim Brotherhood is death to the Jews on Saturday and death to the Christians on Sunday, which means, economically, no more investments from international corporations in Egypt. Nobody's going to want to touch Egypt, because if you are Coca-Cola or Intel or something like that, and you try to open an office in Cairo, and then they kill your people, that really doesn't sound like it's going to work with business.
Yeah, no kidding. And there is one figurehead that has emerged from this. Ultimately, is that what's going to happen, do you think, here, which is, of course, disastrous, because now when we talk about the possibility of jihad and jihadist invasion and all of that stuff, can you imagine this offshoot that you've just described with the Muslim Brotherhood? What are these people in Egypt in for?
In my opinion, you know, because the Saudis have been spending so much money over the last few decades on soup kitchens in the mosques for the poor people, they've basically bought the vote of the majority of the Egyptian people. People are starving there, and they barely get a welfare subsistence diet from the mosque. What's going to happen, you know, and my wife, by the way, is Egyptian Jewish, and she was kicked out of Egypt in 69. There are no more Jews in Egypt anymore. The Christians soon will either be genocidally holocausted or they will flee. It'll be ethnic cleansing, and Egypt will become a fanatic Sunni Sharia state, which, as I said before, no international corporation will want to invest in Egypt, which means the Egyptian economy will tank out very soon. The question we have to ask is, will a war with Israel come about a fourth time, in which, you know, Israel will be attacked again a fourth time across the Sinai, which I think is what's going to happen. And then what happens to the Aswan Dam? What happens to Egypt? And I don't know, I don't want to start quoting the Bible. I don't know if this is a Christian radio program or just a conservative or a talk show. But, you know, it does say in the Bible in Ezekiel 29 that Egypt will become a desolation. The Egyptian people flee into the desert, which is something you can understand when a tsunami comes down from Aswan Dam. And that's what's going to happen. If they attack Israel with 3-4 million men coming across Sinai, they're talking about these massive marches to conquer Israel. This is complete insanity. And, of course, you know, I have a 3-year criminal indictment in Switzerland with a 3-year jail sentence for saying that Islam is not a religion. It is a criminal insanity, and it's basically going to lead to the deaths of millions of people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely, and it's differentiating it, and you did that in talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and in talking about the extremism. So when we see what's happened now in Egypt, how would you, you know, what would your assessment, I guess, overall be of the way our president, the way President Obama has handled Egypt since the revolution started?
Well, again, if you are looking at the overall trend in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia was behind the soup kitchens. The key here is soup kitchens. They were behind the soup kitchens in Gaza, and after a period of decades, the PLO was pushed out, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, so-called. It was pushed out by Hamas because Hamas was funded by the Saudis, and Hamas fed the people. Therefore, Gaza became a Hamas stronghold. Turkey today is a fanatic Sunni Hamas stronghold under Erdogan. Erdogan is a Hamas guy, and that's because the Saudis spent all their money on soup kitchens and supermarkets and food chains in Turkey. So Turkey today has a vast majority of fanatic Muslims supporting the fanatic Muslim government because they're being fed. Egypt, the same story. We are going to see this happening throughout the Middle East. So to answer your question, if the President of the United States knows what he's doing, then he knows that Sunni Islam, Sharia Islam, is taking over economically throughout the Middle East. As I believe, Mubarak Hussein Obama, your president, his father is a Muslim. In Islamic law, he's a Muslim. And every day that he's alive, he's a Muslim. Because if he really says he's a Christian, he became Christian, he must be assassinated by the Muslims for abandoning the faith. So I believe he is a Sunni. I believe he is supporting the Sunni regimes. And by the way, one of the ways to support, defeat Iran, you know, in the end, we're all going to talk about Iran.
Sure.
Iran is a Shiite country. It is hated by the Sunnis. And therefore, I believe part of the grandiose overall plan of the President of the United States is to support the fanatic Sunni regimes, which means, of course, the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad in Syria, because he's a Shiite also. And these countries will be swept by a Sunni-Muslim takeover. And then the two threats to Sunni Islam are Israel, the Jews, and Iran, the Shiites.
Mm. Wow. And we'll see, and we're watching all of this unfold as to what's ultimately, you know, what is the bigger picture, and that's what you're describing. We're speaking with Avi Lipkin. He's a speaker, author, co-founder of Israel Today magazine. As I mentioned before, he spent 30 years actually in the Israeli Defense Forces in the Reserve, 16 years in the IDF Artillery Reserves, and 14 years as an IDF spokesman, so you know it well. I would be remiss not to ask you this, of course, because we talked about this a ton here on America Tonight. Avi, what was your reaction to the president's statements on the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, and then the return, this was the big one, to the pre-67 borders, you know, talking about, among other things, the Gaza Strip. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, I'm not going to defend President Obama now, but, you know, you'll forgive me for saying this, but President George W. Bush was saying the same thing, and in 2008, he said Palestinian state in 2008. And there is no Palestinian state. The reason there is no Palestinian state is not because of Israel. Israel wants a Palestinian state so we don't have a demographic takeover by the Muslims. They don't want a Palestinian state because what they want is to kill the Jews on Saturday and kill the Christians on Sunday. And so I believe no matter what President Obama says, there will never be a Palestinian state because these people don't want a state and they don't want to live in peace along Israel. They want to destroy Israel, which means a Holocaust of 5 million Jews in the Middle East.
Mm. How upset are the people? I mean, you're there. What's the reaction of the people in Israel to all the things that have been happening lately?
Well, I don't think that there are any surprises here. And like I said before, the policy of the U.S. State Department going all the way back to the Rogers Plan in 1971 was that Israel must go back to the borders of June 5th, 1967, which is outrageous because the United Nations resolutions 242 and 338 say the opposite. The U.N. resolutions say Israel will hand over peace. Yes, it hand over land, but Israel will negotiate for new borders, which are secure, recognized, and defensible. And as an Israeli army spokesman in the reserves, I'm retired now, but one of the first things we were taught that defensible borders for Israel means the Jordan River on the east, half the Golan Heights that we still have in the northeast, and Gaza. And we gave away Gaza, gambling for peace, and we lost the gamble. We got rockets, and we're going to have a lot more rockets pretty soon from Gaza.
Yeah, what a way to end this interview. Avi Lipkin, we'll have you on again. You were terrific. Thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, so you see, going deeper into what ultimately, which was my concern, what happens to Egypt, and as Avi said, ultimately it's really about Iran in the end. Where are we with Iran and, of course, Israel, what ultimately could happen there? You could hear by what he's talking about how difficult it is for them because they're pressed into the middle of all of this. Stay with us.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. Everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at backyardfoodproduction.com. Again, that's backyardfoodproduction.com.
Time for a little segment here at the tail end of this hour that we like to call Sports Shorts. First, let me mention this. If you're an NBA fan, you might have been watching the Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat go at it. That series now swings in the favor of the Heat. They beat the Dallas Mavericks by just a bucket at the tail end of the game on the Mavericks' turf. Kind of retribution, I think, in a way, for the Mavericks who came back in Miami and were able to swing a big win on a 17-2 run at the tail end of the game when the Heat were just blowing them out to actually even that series up. So, as I said, the Heat escaped with a very, very big win in Dallas, 88-86. That was the final score in favor of Miami. So some disappointed fans who saw some great basketball, but not their team win. Speaking of disappointment, or maybe not, it's very strange when Rafa Nadal plays Roger Federer for a championship, because you have two incredibly, I think, graceful players who are very affable and likable. If you're a tennis fan, just a fan of unbelievable athletic skills, the two of them do things that seem superhuman to me as somebody who's, you know, played tennis off and on and in my life and had a chance to, I feel fortunate, had a chance to see both of them play several times. So there they are in France and they're playing the French Open. Rafa Nadal has a chance to win his sixth title. Roger Federer, a chance to add another notch to his career belt, which is incredible, the amount of majors that this guy has won. He's at, I think, 19. So can you imagine? But on clay, Rafa is king. They call him dirt ballers You know, in your neighborhood, if you might, there are a few places you have them. In Connecticut, you still have them. In Jersey, you have them. I mean, there's clubs that have some clay courts. And even recreational courts. There are some recreational courts don't cost you a dime that you can pop onto that are clay. It's not often. It depends on where you live because you have to water them and take care of them. But the bottom line is they call somebody who plays well on dirt a dirt baller. So that's Rafa Nadal. In the end, Rafa Nadal pulled this out. It was an interesting match. And unfortunately, I'm sure it was a hard loss for Federer. But here's what they said in their own words.
All of a sudden, you know, at 0-0 in the fourth set, you think, okay, we have a match again. He has to go a long way to beat you again. Momentum is on my side. And all of a sudden, we know what can happen in tennis. It was unfortunate I couldn't make it more competitive in the fourth set, you know, but Rafa played well, and he deserved the win today.
I tried my best in every moment with the right attitude all the time. So finally, I was able to play my best when I needed my best. To win a tournament, especially when you started without playing your best. So my mind was open to change the situation. So that makes the victory probably more special, even if it's possible. This is my biggest chance of the year. So if I win this tournament, I know my year is fantastic. I had 4-2, but seriously, I think he played very, very good from that moment to the beginning of the fourth. So when Roger plays like this, the opponent has nothing to do sometimes.
I like how his English has gotten better too along the way, but I like how he seems to sort of downplay his success. So Rafa Nadal, for all of you listening that are in your 20s, check out his accomplishments at 25 years old and a couple of days. He's the second youngest guy to ever win 10 Grand Slams. He trails only the great Bjorn Borg. How about that? So Rafa Nadal, the winner of the French Open. Wimbledon is next. You're keeping score. And then our U.S. Open coming up, which pound for pound, even if you're not a big tennis fan, is always a lot of fun to watch. And people come from all over the world to New York City, to Queens specifically, to watch that tournament. You might be a hockey fan versus tennis or the NBA or any of the nonsense I've already mentioned, right? It's not nonsense to me, but you might think it is. You might be a hockey person listening to us. And if you're a hockey fan, maybe you hail from Boston or you just have an affinity, a love for the Boston Bruins. Boy, if you do, you must be a little bit concerned. I don't think the series so far has been a disappointment. It's been great hockey, actually. It's been fun hockey to watch. I happen to be a hockey fan, and I've seen one full game and seen a big chunk of the second game. And unfortunately, you know, my team didn't get in. My team was eliminated. I thought they had a good chance to do it. But the Canucks and the Bruins are the two that are left standing, and the Canucks are now up 2-0. How about that? Ryan Kesler from Vancouver had this to say.
We battled hard when we were down. Obviously, our second period wasn't that great, and we showed a lot of character again to come back and, you know, burst the arrow again, and it's good to see.
Yeah, Matt, I know you're a big hockey fan, so have you watched any of the Stanley Cup Finals?
I most certainly have. I didn't catch all of Game 2 because I was out of town at a bachelor party, but we we had it on in the background. So I saw the overtime goal that happened, I think, like 10, 15 seconds in. It was kind of ridiculous.
11 seconds, boom, fastest of all time. It's crazy.
But I watched almost all of Game 1, and for as low-scoring that game was, it was 0-0, I mean, through almost the whole game. That was one of the most entertaining games I've ever watched.
I think so, too. Yeah. I watched that whole game as well. And I only saw a little bit of that second game and Alex Burrows, you know, burying the puck basically with 11 seconds. But so that was exciting for Canucks fans. But the first one I think was great. It was exciting because you were on the edge of your seat. You didn't know who was going to get the goal.
Yeah, and Tim Thomas was just standing on his head.
Yeah.
And the thing is Boston's actually played really well.
Yes.
And they're down two games.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, in the NHL, anything can happen. It's the one sport, I think, where home ice doesn't necessarily matter. And so, and you see teams who are down two games, three games, come back and actually win, I think more so than any other professional sport. So Boston's definitely not out of it yet, but it's an uphill climb for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it'll be tough for them. It'll be tough for them to climb out of that because of the 2-0 edge. But that's the series is a long enough series. You never say die, especially when it's just that close. When it's that close. All right, how about this? I don't know how many people are paying attention or not. This is sort of one of those offshoot things. But since we're talking about sports, it's worth it to throw in. I'm going to throw this in from college sports. I've been accused of not mentioning women's sports enough when I do my little sports shorts thing. So here you go. Women's College World Series. Yes, there is a Women's College World Series. And Arizona State versus Florida. That's the finals. How about that? The Gators beat the second-seeded Crimson Tide twice to get to the championship round. And Florida had a World Series record, I guess, 11 runs in the first inning of a game that was a rout. 16-2 in the first game. How about that? And Alabama, too, because people were really pushing for Alabama. It's that whole thing about what's happened in Alabama and all that stuff. And I guess a lot of people who play for Alabama were pretty good. They were known to be a top squad. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to those two. That's it. And, you know, people forget. There's some really good women players in this country. And remember, if you go back to the Olympics, how big the women's softball was, then I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that there are a lot of great female players, too. So the Bears scored just 2 runs in 4 games at the World Series, both on game-ending home runs in extra innings. We like edge-of-your-seat stuff. Obviously, if you've listened to Matt and I talk at all about sports, there's something about that. And I started off and I mentioned the Dallas Mavericks go down at the hands of the Miami Heat, and that turned out to be just 2 points in the final minutes. I mean, I hate to say this about the NBA, but really, you could miss the whole first 3 quarters and just tune into the 4th quarter, and that's really when the excitement starts. It's the truth!